In today's episode, Mike tries to get us sued, Samantha watched Judge Dredd for some reason, and I ask, who's the master? This is The Last Dragon.
Ghost Dog.
I've seen that movie. It's good.
That was a great movie. I wonder, when I asked Skid what this movie was about, and he said Kung Fu in Harlem, and I was like, it's like the other side of Ghost Dog.
Kind of.
Samurai in Jersey.
Yep. Alright, so do we want to talk about The Last Dragon first, or do we want to do the episode of what you've been playing first? What do you want to do here?
Up to you.
Up to you.
Up to me. Alright. Alright, so since I am so hyped up, I watched it this morning. Let's do The Last Dragon first. Alright. Does anybody need to take a potty break or anything like that before we record the episode?
Nope.
Is nobody needs to pee? We're all good? Okay.
I'm good. I was in the bathroom before we started.
Fantastic. By the way, Mike, I definitely think this 1 o'clock will work out better. I'm actually just like enjoying the natural light in the room while we're doing that. Speaking of light, you know, it kind of it glows. And so today, since we're talking about glowing things, we're going to talk about the most hype movie I viewed as a child. Today, we are talking about on Funsphere Movie Club, Barry Gordy's The Last Dragon. Hi, I'm Josh, and I am stoked.
And special guest, I am the Barry Gordy.
Mr. Barry Gordy?
Stoked, I'm dad.
Oh, wow. Wow, Samantha. I'm clapping for that one. That's great. That is great. So, for any of you unfortunate people that are not familiar with this cinematic masterpiece, The Last Dragon is a 1985 American martial arts comedy film produced by Mr. Barry Gordy, that's why his name's above the title, and directed by Mr. Michael Schultz. The film stars Timac Vanity. That's not one person. That is two people.
What is it with the 80s and single names?
We'll talk a little bit about that, actually. The star, breakout star of the film, Mr. Julius Carey, rest in peace. And there's a few other little cameos and stuff like that we'll talk about later. So this came out 1985. Was a financial success. Bet you didn't see that one coming, Mike and Samantha.
It was a financial success?
It was a financial success. Yes.
Yeah. It seemed like it had a pretty big budget.
$23 million.
No, it had a $10 million budget.
It's pretty big.
Yeah. I guess it's pretty big for 1985, probably. And the film follows the exploits of young Leroy Green, also known as Bruce Leroy, as he finishes his martial arts training and comes up against the greatest challenger of all time for villain of cinematic history. Like, I've got Darth Vader, and then I've got the main man, the Shogun of Harlem, the best looking dude, the baddest dude,
From the moment that he shows up, I was like, what the fuck is this dude's beef? Like, there's no reason why he's just singled this one kid out.
It's because he's the only one that people will put up and say, yeah, you're great, but you're not Bruce Leroy. This guy could probably beat you in a fight. That's the whole crux of it. Yeah, they actually have, like, no other personal interaction besides the fact that, you know, there's an old saying in martial arts films that gets brought up a lot. It's two tigers cannot live on the same mountain. Hmm. There can only be one master. And the movie is the battle about
but
who
that's,
is
that is really the only incentive that Shonoff has in the entire movie. Like, there's nothing else that he wants. He doesn't want any kind of world domination or anything. His entire plot in the movie is, I gotta fight this kid.
That's correct. Even to the point of, it's a plot point where money is brought to him and he turns it down. He's like, I don't want anything. I just want this fight.
And that's, wow, that's like Team Rocket going after Pikachu.
Yep. Want, he is single-minded and focused on being the Shogun of Harlem. And I guess you could maybe argue that his shogunate is not fully established until he defeats Bruce Leroy. So maybe that's the motivation you're looking for, Mike, that it's behind. I mean, don't get me wrong. The Last Dragon has a lot of depth and complexity to it as a movie. Why are you laughing? I'm dead serious when I'm saying that. Okay, so
I'm just listening to you and I'm trying to, like, draw parallels with Ghost Dog. Like, it really sounds like these two movies just could be happening, like they exist together. That is like ninja stuff over here, samurai stuff over there.
Uh-huh. Yes. All right, so give me your guys' first impressions of this movie. Let me ask you first, were either of you even remotely familiar with this film before I suggested it, or Mike, you might recall years and years ago, I did show you this film.
I don't recall that at all.
Okay. Fantastic.
This movie did not exist for me until you mentioned it.
You showed me, like, the box art?
No, I had the whole movie playing while you were at my house one time. I was doing prep for a cookout. And I had it playing since you showed up earlier.
Oh, yeah, I was not paying attention.
Fantastic. Wonderful.
There was but not one that scene that looked familiar.
Okay. So it was like a whole new movie for you.
Yeah,
I kind of I envy you for the ability to encounter this film for the first time. So tell me what you thought about it.
It seemed like it was a movie made for kids, but that was not a movie for kids.
Correct.
That was it was all over the place.
Am I incorrect in thinking like Pootie Tang vibes?
I've not seen that.
Okay, I'll say this. Pootie Tang is definitely like a kind of a spoof film of these type of things.
This is
more
film.
Serious.
Oh, okay, so this
kind
is,
of
okay.
Well, it was, I guess it was Dynamite? A kid's movie in story, but it was not a kid's movie in execution. Like, it was a very, how do you say it? Like, a simple kind of
a hero's journey, yeah, type movie? Yes. Okay.
It's for the kid in you.
But then there was a lot of nonsensical stuff that kept being added in.
Okay. What struck you as nonsensical? I'm interested to find out.
Like the second villain that just gets thrown in there, and then that takes over. And then it makes like the first villain not be needed anymore. But then the first villain shows up again. Well, he keeps coming in. But it's like, yeah, two competing stories that did not work well together.
I wholeheartedly disagree with that assessment. Go ahead. Keep going.
I mean, it was entertaining, but
okay.
I just kept, like, several times throughout the movie, out loud said, "What the fuck is this movie?"
I feel like that was a big theme of films in the 80s.
Okay.
It reminded me a lot of Ninja Turtles. The first one of those.
They just go off the rails for like no reason and then come back.
Okay, there's actually a tangential relationship between this movie and Ninja Turtles, both 1 and 2.
Martial arts.
Not just that.
Turtles.
No, there are no turtles in The Last Dragon that I am aware of. No, but good guess.
New York?
There's an actor. New York is a relationship, sure. But there is specifically an actor. I'm trying to get the gentleman's name because I'll feel bad if I get it wrong. Ernie Reyes Jr. Now, you may know him.
Is he the guy that was the oh my gosh, what do you call it? Like was he the henchman in The Last Dragon? Was he who played that?
No.
So
Ernie Reyes Jr. was the small, looks like a child, like 6 or 7, but was actually 12 at the time.
Oh, his brother?
In the final, no, the little kid, the little Asian kid.
Yeah. That was kicking ass.
Yes. So that gentleman he's a stunt actor from a stunt actor family. His father, Ernie Reyes Sr., was the fight coordinator, one of the fight coordinators in this film. He played the stunt actor for Donatello in the first one and in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 1, and he's Kino in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2.
He has a page on Muppet Wiki.
He does. So, like I said, that is a there's your relationship between those two films automatically. So
there were. So I didn't recognize any of the main people in the movie, but there were a bunch of like, oh, weird that they're in this movie, like William H. Macy. And then the dude that did play the henchman. I will always remember him as the bad guy in Dumb and Dumber.
That's correct. Mike Starr, yes.
I've never seen Dumb and Dumber.
Really?
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, just...
Okay.
It was funny.
All right.
You probably wouldn't appreciate it as much now, but if you watched it as a kid, you would think it was very funny.
It was great.
Okay.
Yes, you're right, Mike. He is in Dumb and Dumber. So... while we're just talking about the cast real quick, let's also, you mentioned William H. Macy in maybe the greatest jacket that man will ever wear was in this film.
He was a hairdresser?
He was a director or producer. Okay. Yes. Yeah, and you could tell it's like, wow, this is where he literally was just getting his start. Another thing, Keisha Knight Pulliam, I believe is how you pronounce her last name. Do you know who that is?
Mm-mm.
Very quick cameo, but would be very famous throughout the 80s and early 90s.
Say where?
She's Rudy at their breakfast scene where they're eating as a family. She's on the Cosby Show. She's Rudy Huxtable.
Hmm.
Yep. Yep. Also, let's see here. You got
she plays the little match girl in some adaptation of that. She just feels...
Yep. Yep, so... All right. Samantha, what did you think of the film? I know that you didn't get a chance to view all of it. Did you get to see any clips? But you got a...
Yeah, I watched some... I really want to watch it. Like,
okay.
In full. I think once Skid's back, because I mentioned it to him and he loves it, so I think once...
Okay.
We're gonna sit and watch the whole.
All right. So real quick for our audience, though, what did you think we were watching instead?
Judge Dredd. I did watch that, which I feel like has similar weird. Well, maybe not. But hey, Josie from Twin Peaks is in that movie. Hmm. That was weird. I've never seen her in anything else. And sure was a movie.
It sure was a movie.
Rob Schneider's character really was the least necessary thing ever.
All right, so before we finish off this tangent, I'm just going to ask, did you see the, I think it was 2012, Dredd?
Yeah, actually, I saw that way before I ever saw this one.
That's actually a kick-ass film, I'll say that.
It is good, but, you know, I really like the setting. Like, because that one just mostly takes place in an apartment building thing.
Yeah.
Right? But I like 80s sci-fi fantasy sets and settings a lot. So mm-hmm. I did like the aesthetic of Judge Dredd a lot more than I did Dredd. But Dredd is just is a better movie.
Okay.
I'm not familiar with either of those.
Well, maybe another time, another place, we'll talk about those. All right, so Samantha, what else was your impression of the film? Sorry.
I didn't get much of them, but hearing you guys talk about it, I do really want to watch it, and the clips were good. I don't know. I like how simple it was. It just looked like a silly fun time. That's also, it's very serious. It's like very important to those two people. These, this kind of like nothing goals. But
he is now the shown off.
Yes.
With as nonsensical as his character was, the guy did a stellar job with him. Yes. And you could tell, like, he was hamming it up intentionally.
He kind of was, but at the same time, I think that he is by far, of course, the breakout character of the movie. He was a good actor, actually. Like, his next thing that I'm familiar with, because he didn't have a very prolific career, he was in a show called The Adventures of Briscoe County Jr.
Sounds
familiar with that?
That sounds familiar.
Never heard of that.
Okay. Famous for starring Bruce Campbell. He was on that show with Bruce Campbell. So I like him because of that show and because of this movie. And like I said, he unfortunately has passed. So he never got to be a great voice actor or anything like that, but man, he would have been. But yes, we also have to thank this gentleman for inspiring Busta Rhymes' costume in the video Gimme Some More, and that's great. This is just, I love Show Enough so much. I literally love all of the, like, just fantastical costumes that this man and his crew wear everywhere. Like, he has several costume changes that are just, each one is better than the last. Like, to be quite honest, his final costume in the final battle,
I watched the clip of the final battle,
is honestly the most disappointing of the bunch. But
it looks like a lovely robe.
Yes. Yes, there are. Oh, the character is so good.
God,
so serious.
You want to talk about unnecessary plot points? That whole yes. The shine crap.
Oh,
the glow, Michael. The glow. I will. The shine is from a different. That's from
Shining?
One The Simpsons.
The shine.
The shine. So you don't get sued. And The Shining, yes, is from The Shining.
But it's such a... it's like teased at the very beginning of the movie. Nothing to do with anything for the entire rest of the movie until that one fight scene. And then it's not necessary again.
Well, that's called...
It's not a Chekhov's gun or a red herring.
Throwing down the seeds, throwing seeds down, waiting for them to grow, and then you pluck that potato.
That's called, let me tell you what that is. That's called hyping up a final battle between Kung Fu and making it to a young 5-year-old Josh Hurst the most incredible thing he'd ever seen.
That's definitely what they were thinking.
Yes.
About.
And I'll tell you what else they were thinking about. Star Wars. It's not an accident that stuff glows red like
Darth
Vader's
yellow
lightsaber. Yep, and blue. Yeah, that's, and the fact that it's rotoscoped on just like lightsabers are. Actually, and I'll say that rotoscoped on very well. Like, they actually do. It'd be interesting to see what they could do with modern graphics and that type of effect if they wanted to.
Well, if they have enough time, it would look great. But if they rush it, it'll look like
garbage.
Yeah, rotoscoping is Phantom the most Menace. Tedious thing you can do in editing. It's pretty awful.
Oh, but it's so cool. It looks so cool.
Yeah, we're gonna watch the whole thing. That was,
okay.
It's very silly. I can only think of the, because I've only watched like the movies that are parodies of those kinds of movies. So like Black Dynamite and.
Oh yeah, yeah, I could see.
Was it that Eddie Murphy one that was recent? Dolomite.
Dolomite, yes. Well, Dolomite was a real movie.
Well, My Name is Dolomite.
Yeah,
A movie came out recently. I think that's what it was called.
Yeah. Okay.
So I saw what I know I would have seen show enough and Disco Godfather.
Okay.
I watched that a few years ago.
That's actually prior to this film, but yes. So, Mike, I'll ask this to both of you. Samantha, you mentioned you've only seen parody of this. Like, have you guys ever seen or viewed any kind of kung fu movie on your own? Besides, like, let's just say, let's scratch off Karate Kid or something like that. Like
Kung Pao.
Okay, Kung Pao, yes. Okay. So it's a new genre for both of you then, would you guys say?
No, I started going through ones that were available.
Okay.
The classic stuff. Like, actually, the day before yesterday, we watched Rush Hour.
Okay.
I know that's not technically it, but
I'm sure it counts as a classic now.
It's been less than a year ago, but I watched Drunken Master.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah. And I watched a couple of Bruce Lee's. Let me see if I can find what they were.
Okay. Now, Mike, yesterday in our text chain, you were asking about Way of the Dragon. Did you mean Enter the Dragon? Because, like, you, I think, may have inadvertently mentioned, you mentioned Chuck Norris.
Yeah, all right, so I'll share my frustration.
Okay.
So the way that scene plays out, because they talk about Bruce Lee, like his master does at the beginning when he gives him the emblem, he's like, only like Bruce Lee is fit to have this.
No, he said it belonged to him.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
So then it goes on to show footage from this movie where Bruce Lee is knocking out Chuck Norris.
That's not Chuck Norris.
Oh, I thought it was.
No. So the movie that they're watching in the film is Enter the Dragon, which is Bruce Lee's American-made. It's actually his only American-made kung fu film.
All right. So I mentioned Way of the Dragon because once I saw that I thought it was Bruce Lee and Chuck Norris, I went to Chuck Norris's page and looked for what Bruce Lee was also in. And it was Way of the Dragon. So I had to like reverse search to figure out what movie they were spoiling. Because that's the way that it lays out. But it's because I paused it right when I saw that and didn't realize that like it pans out and they're at a movie theater.
See, and I was thinking when you sent that, I was like, I remember the Enter the Dragon clip in that movie, but I was like, I don't remember Way of the Dragon. I was like, also you would have seen Bruce versus Chuck fight in not Fist of Fury. God, I'm trying to remember. It's one that they made after his death, and they basically like chimered three kung fu films together. It's got Chuck in it in the beginning. It's got Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in it. Another cool thing. That's where... okay, so you guys aren't too familiar with it, but there's a couple of like serious nods in this film to Bruce Lee in his films. Mike, when they're doing the training in his dojo and he's got that yellow and black tracksuit on,
mm-hmm.
that is a nod to Bruce Lee's film. God, I can't even remember the original one. But it's the one where he fights Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
That was the one that they also referenced in Kill Bill.
Right? Yes, that is correct. That is where the yellow and black tracksuit comes from. So that's done. Like I said, all the moves and the sounds are, of course, mimicking Bruce's very famous style. Although I'm pretty sure the young actor, Timac, didn't actually know that style of kung fu, but it's one of those things you can mimic it for a film pretty easy. I mean, it's kind of made for film. So you guys aren't too familiar with that. So
nope.
I'll give you guys kind of the backstory about how I found this movie and how I came to love movies like this. So back when I was a little kid, Fox 43 was where you would watch your cartoons. And then on Saturdays around noon, once all the cartoons were off, you'd either get like a Saturday matinee movie or some sort of sporting events and stuff like that. This is where I found that movie. I remember vividly it, like my favorite Saturdays would either be when this movie came on, because I showed it all the time, because guess what? Once it's out of theaters, it didn't really do too much. It took a long time for this to come to DVD and VHS. So it was constantly on like replayed every 2 months on Fox 43. So being a little kid, loving like Ninja Turtles and stuff like that, seeing this film and then seeing like the Star Wars effect on the last fight it was perfect. It was one of my very first introductions to kung fu films. And I will admit, I'm not the biggest like kung fu head as far as like watching films like that. But I do especially like films from like the 70s and 80s. That kind of vibe of catching it on like Saturday afternoon TV always kind of works for me. Like I said, this is definitely, I saw this before I ever saw a Bruce Lee film. So I've got that love for it there. But this is just one of those movies that's like, it's such a childhood memory for me, and it always makes me smile. And I literally waited till this morning to watch it to kind of recapture that feeling of waking up, having breakfast, you know, watching your TV, and then watching this come on, and you would just be so hyped. So that's one of the reasons. And like I said, I adore the movie. I fully admit it is 80s schlocky at best, but we all know I have a soft spot in my heart for those type of movies. But man, do I love this one so much. And like, it's not actually that bad of a kung fu movie.
No,
I mean, it's not as polished or overhyped as stuff we see nowadays. You know, things like John Wick. You were talking about Rush Hour, like when Jackie Chan came to America in like the late 90s, like he brought stuff we'd never seen before. So that was cool, but I kind of like the old, they're called Chop Saki films and stuff like that. You're talking about like The Drunken Master, like the original one from the 70s is fantastic. Mm. I love that film. And like I said, I think it was kind of one of the first movies where I was like the antagonist or the protagonist wasn't a white guy. And that was kind of an interesting thing. Like, I can look back on and be like, oh yeah, I remember this film. And this is kind of one of the first movies where I saw where an African-American was the protagonist. And that was cool. And so it's got a lot of good stuff like that in it. You know, very interesting. I mean, so you're asking about the names, like, you know, you have, Timac, God, I've probably said that like 15 different ways in this recording. Yeah, I had all those actors that had like the one word names and stuff like that. It's just that was a style at the time. Like the female lead, known as Vanity at the time, she just came off of, she was in Purple Rain. Hmm. So got the Prince connection. She was a famous model, stuff like that. I don't know if you guys noticed, but the young man that plays Bruce Leroy was not the best actor. And that's because this was his first acting film, and he kind of learned to act while he was doing the movie. So it kind of shows.
That's the best way to learn.
Hey, you know. can't all be William H. Macy and just, you know, be a fantastic actor in an even more fantastic jacket in this film. But like I said, you got the over-the-top villains. You've got just the simple plot. You've got the setting of the film. It just it hits all the buttons for me, and so I am happy to have shared this with you guys. I'm also happy that Skip loves this movie. That makes me Skid. Excuse me.
Skip.
Skip. Skid. Skid. You know, I didn't name him. I'm sure he's dealt with that a few thousand times in his life.
That's actually what Matthew Lillard thinks his name is.
Is Skip.
And Skid won't correct him.
Oh, come on, Skid. You gotta correct him. You can correct me. Me and Matthew Lillard, we're pretty much on the same level of celebrity.
Tell him. Next time, we're going to his house again.
And tell him, you gotta look out for Josh Hurst.
Yeah, and that's... His name's not Skip.
It's Skid. Okay. All right, anybody have any closing thoughts on this masterpiece of a film that is honestly probably better than films like, I don't know, Lawrence of Arabia, Schindler's List. Definitely better than Citizen Kane. I can say that. Yeah.
I can't wait to see it in its entirety.
You maybe have to give us a little like follow-up of what your thoughts were.
Yeah.
Sometime. Mike, what about you, bud? Did this open the floodgates? Are you going to start going back through and watching 70s and 80s and very early 90s kung fu films and stuff like that?
Well, I like learning the classics.
Uh-huh.
I don't think that inspired me to seek out more 80s cheese.
So I do have one little criticism I must mention at this time is that this film does a really bad job of differentiating martial arts and countries of origin. For example, like, you know, Bruce Leroy is a kung fu practitioner. Okay. His sensei is Japanese and is dressed in the starting of the film in a Japanese archery setup. Bruce Leroy also dresses as a ninja, which was Japanese, and you wouldn't do that as much. I don't know if there is a Chinese martial arts equivalent of ninjas. Maybe there are, and I'm just not familiar. But I'm pretty sure, like I said, that was just kind of catching into the craze of ninjas that was starting to heat up and was about to explode. And don't get me wrong, I still think that ninjas are the coolest thing ever to exist, if they did exist. But that's another historical...
Wait, ninjas, aren't they real?
That is a huge historical discussion about whether ninjas were actually a thing or who were really ninjas, things like that. But of course...
Yeah, they were hella good at being ninjas then.
Yeah, exactly. That's the whole... one of the defenses that people take. It's like, yeah, you don't know anything about them because there was their job. But it's one of those things. There is some historical basis, but it's not like ninjas as we know them portrayed in media. But of course, that's romanticized just like samurais are, just like knights in, Arthurian lore?
Yeah, like King Arthur. I just saw him on Gargoyles.
Oh, okay. There you go. But, you know, I was like, that kind of irritates me as someone that went through and then watched like pure kung fu movies versus, you know, there are movies where guys do karate and taekwondo and stuff like that. It's like, I know this was still kind of at the time, but I was like, it's sort of a disservice to all of them by not like saying, this is where this is from. This is what this stuff does. It's not all intermingled and stuff like that.
Oh yeah. They didn't care.
They didn't care. They really didn't.
And there was no internet to yell at them. So.
That's true. That is true. You just took it as given.
What was the pizza slogan?
Oh,
pizza.
move your pizza to Papa Green's pizza? Yeah. So I'll just ask you guys, can you name the companies that had product placement in this movie? There's two big ones I know for sure.
No, Pepsi?
No.
Macintosh?
No. Coca-Cola, because literally they were using the actual slogan of the time. And the other one, specifically referenced several times by Shonuff, it's footwear.
Oh,
I was going to guess.
Reebok?
Adidas?
No, Kiss My Converse.
Converse.
And he actually wears Converse, so that's really cool.
Everybody was wearing Converse for a little bit.
Everybody wears Converse now.
No, I mean, like, it was like you wore your Chucks. Everybody had Chucks when I was in high school.
All right.
It was the only shoes I bought.
All right, real quick, go around the room. Who has Chucks? I do.
Not anymore.
Not me.
Not Mike. Okay.
I only ever had them once, and it was because we had to have them for our marching band show that year.
Because they were popular.
Still are popular. Have been popular since the 1950s.
No, but I mean, like, it was those were the only shoes acceptable to wear.
We'll have to save that for our next spinoff, like where we become sneakerheads and
just fashion.
We could do both. I don't see why we couldn't. But we'll have to wait till next time on Fun Sphere Fashion Club? Question mark? All right.
FFC.
All right.
Well, that's not anything.
We'll say goodbye here, folks. Goodbye.
Bye. Bye.